All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 54, right? 54?
55.
55. Bro, the weeks are blurring together. I tell you, the weeks really are blurring together. And I will say that Jay Kuhn went above and beyond for the art this week. I think the art this week looks incredible. Like I think it looks awesome. Like, I just absolutely
Muscle
love
mommy.
It.
I don't know about this art. Regular art?
This is normal art, okay? This is not normal, not as sexualized. This dude literally... You want me to bring up the previous art? I'll bring up the previous art while we're talking. That's
so
fine.
Good.
I'm your host,
the
Blue
Garma
Squadron.
Part two.
Joined, as always, by my co-hosts. We'll start with Blonde Bear. Go ahead.
Hello, it's me, Blonde Bear. I love to party.
Bro, you gotta get your intro to we gotta work on your intro game, man. We'll get there.
I'm the natural YouTube comment hated, you know.
Yo.
Oh gosh, yeah, we're gonna talk all about it. It's gonna be great. And my boy Jay Kuhn.
Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. My name is Jay Kuhn, VT, V before the T. I want to make it a wisdom main with 765 gear score. I do a lot of end game content such as Olin's Valley, the Dungeon of Ulaquita. I've been recently playing this game called Content Warning, which has a similar vibe to Lethal Company. And you basically
turn off
film
text,
some serious
stuff
UWU. And
upload
it to this thing called SpookTube to go viral. And yeah, it's been fun. You can find me over at twitch.tv/JayKuhnVT, V before the T.
Right on. Okay, yeah. So, honestly, the first thing we're going to talk about are the... See, that was a good intro. See, I don't have to add anything to that. He just nailed it, right? I will say... So, let's talk about the comments from the previous week and how right I was for just, like, 2 seconds. Because I knew from the moment that Blonde Bear opened his mouth, it was crazy, bro. Honestly, the
really
comments
the
got so savage. Blonde, how'd you feel about the comments?
I loved it. I think you do a very good job of audience capturing specifically new players. No, I feel like they're okay. I think a lot of people get me wrong. I feel really bad for the people that are like, Blonde Bear L take, oh, he wants it to be hard because he had it hard. Okay, I didn't have it hard. I had a really easy go of it, actually. There's people that are like, oh, you know, he knew what it was like to grind 20 mil, so he wants everybody else to grind 20 mil. No, I don't. I love catch-up mechanics. I love new players. I want new players in this game. I just think that when you play a hardcore grindy MMO, it kind of needs to be a hardcore grindy MMO, and I like that aspect, and that's what I'd like to stick to. And it's my opinion, whatever. But I love, what did I just listen to? Blonde Bear, who hurt you, bro?
Yeah.
Player Blonde sentiment Bear... like Blonde Bear is why many MMOs in the subsequent communities die off, which is, in some portions I could agree, in some cases for some games, in others, making it too casual is what killed the game. So, not too casual, sorry. Changing the game fundamentally is what killed the game. I think it can go either way. Games have different histories depending on their changes, but I love the comments. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, most of these comments are just flaming Blonde Bear, and I was laughing the whole time. Blonde was probably not laughing, but holy moly.
I was dying
laughing. Yeah.
I was dying laughing until I got to the bottom, and you see, like, the most thumbs down posts that are like, listen, guys, why is everybody hating on Blonde Bear? Or, oh, I kind of understand Blonde Bear's opinion because of this, this, and that, but maybe it needs to be stated a better way. And I'm like, oh, okay, some people kind of get me. Okay, that's cool. But... I get it. If I was a new player and I heard some guy that's been playing the game since the launch saying the shiz I'd say, I'd probably be mad at him too. I'd be like, I want to get into this game. Why does this guy not want me to get in this game? It's just perspective. I just think it's the perspective, and that's okay. It is what it is. I don't need them to like me.
Oh, it seems like we got a lot of engagement. Maybe we should do this more.
Yeah,
honestly, it got more views than most of the other podcasts. Thanks, Blonde. Maybe you should come in with a hot take. And I say you because Jay and I don't want to do that.
Listen, this is not fake. This is exactly how I feel. I am 100% truthful. I play video because I want to grind tons of hours and make a bunch of money. That's literally why I accidentally sent you a screenshot of RuneScape, because I'm playing RuneScape because RuneScape has this like constant cool EXP grind or working at this grind. Like, I've been playing a lot of games like that. I don't know if I'm becoming a boomer or what. I don't know what it is. I think I'm transitioning to a new state of my life where maybe I just like this kind of stuff. It's like some weird torture. I don't know.
Well, regardless of what it is, I appreciate your hot takes, Blonde. I just know when it comes out of your mouth how good of content this is going to be in the comments. I can just, the second that it, moment it leaves your mouth, I can already hear the birds singing in the comments. It feels so good to me. I love it. It's my favorite. All right, so we have a lot to talk about today, and Blonde Bear is going to have the hottest take of the century on the Karma System nerf, I am sure. Let's get opinions on this. Before anyone else speaks, can we get the raw, unadulterated opinion? Blonde, how do you feel about the Karma nerf system coming into the game? For those of you that don't know what's happening on the Global Labs right now, there is a Karma nerf did it come to live yet? I don't think it's live yet.
It's in Korea.
So it's live in KR, but it's on the Global Labs right now. So essentially it will take you 5 times as long to get your karma back, right? Mm-hmm. Once it's gone, mobs will give you way less karma per mob. And then also I think your level also has a lot to do with it too, or something, as well. So like you can't go to an alt. They're trying to prevent you from just like switching to a karma alt, grinding your karma back at like Desert Fogans and then swapping back to your main and doing it again. Essentially, and you can also go to -10 million karma instead of just a million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're gonna go negative on someone, you can really pay the price for it. Essentially, Blonde, how do you feel about this?
I don't know why. I don't.
He's trying to be careful. Look at him. I don't know which one's the hot take. Hold on.
It's kind of weird because, like, I feel like if they're just going to make it so that there's no point to go red or PvP or flag up, then, like, why not just remove flagging from the game? At this point, like, even PvPers, I've seen the sentiment of, like, why don't they just remove flagging, make half the channels Arsha, and then, like, let some channels be open free PvP and some not be. Like, I feel like that's the sentiment. But at the same time, I get, like, some of the allure coming to the game is the point that you can flag up at any time. The fact that you can just flag up and grab a friend and mess with them or whatever, the fact that you can do those things, and removing that sort of core essential part, I think they're scared to like completely remove it. I don't know if it was needed or necessary. The fact that you have to grind for like, what, 2 straight days to get your karma back, and you can go to like -10 million, I think they said, or something. I thought that was wild. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's better ways to change the system to make players that want to PvP be on a PvP server versus people that don't want any of that stuff to not. But then, like, I don't know, it depends on what side of the thing you're on. If you're the guy that just only has a few hours to grind a day, and you go to a spot and some dude's, like, you know, going in your spot and you can't flag up or move him, yeah, you're gonna have to channel swap. Okay, if you're on cooldown and another guy's there, it's like, okay, I can't grind, so I can't even flag on the person and kill them. Or you're the guy that is going there and someone comes into, you know, you're the guy going into someone else's spot and trying to grind, and now they can't flag on you, so, like, because they're gonna lose massive amounts of karma. Like, depending on what side of it on, you're kind of, like... You're gonna feel some type of way, but I don't know if it's a W thing. I just feel like there's better ways that they could have done this. It's kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure people are gonna like it, the fact that, you know, red players stay red or whatever, but I feel like they could just completely change the system, and that would probably be more healthy for the game, right? If you push people that want to have that open world sort of aspect of any time action can happen, you can move like half the channels to like an Arsha style, where you can flag up and there's no penalty or whatever. And the people that don't want to deal with any of that, which is quite a lot of players, can have half of the channels that have nothing to do with that. I think that would be an okay compromise.
Just PvE and PvP servers? Like, just
yeah, yeah. Like, you have Arsha where you can flag up and kill and there's no penalty or whatever. And then on the other stuff, you just have non-flagging channels where you can't PvP and you just... Yeah, I guess you would essentially grind over people, but that's what some people want. Some people don't want flagging in the game or whatever. That's the penalty of dealing with that kind of system. It's like flagging is a good and a bad thing. It kind of goes both ways, so it depends.
Okay, Jay, I'm curious what your thoughts are. I'll give my thoughts last on this.
I mean, this is definitely going to change, and discourage people from going negative karma even more so on top of all the penalties already. And for listeners who are unaware of the penalties, like, some big ones to make note of is multiple active crystals can break from PvP, gear can also downgrade an enhancement level if you die in PvE, light stones can also break in PvE, and I believe you can also not use the tagging system, or rather, like, you can't, like, item copy or something like that. So there are so many downsides, and yet I didn't realize that there were still, you know, players willing to harass others, that the karma system is yet again receiving even more downsides, and despite that, there's still people who like want to go red on purpose, and which kind of like makes me wonder like what makes red players like so appealing, because in the past, didn't it like Was it kind of sort of like a novel thing to be a red player? It's interesting, but yeah, I don't. As for whether this is good for the game or not, I mean, I'm, you know, as someone who played an Awakening Witch for 5 years, and dueling was not really my strong suit, so you know, the karma system was, you know, going right was not the most appealing to me, and so I personally kind of brushed this off. Like, I thought it was like non-content for me as a PvE player, so that's kind of my take on it, is that okay, I see it over there, I'll just continue over here with my PvE stuff. So
I mean this kind of content kind of affects everybody, and I'm curious what the PvE, like the pure PvE lords, thought about like the karma changes like this. My guess was that you were going to be mainly in favor, but really like kind of skeptical overall, kind of exactly what Blonde said.
Actually, like, I care. Like, how often, Jay, do you and I run into people on a server that we wouldn't just swap off of at the spots that we go to? Like, if you see a person that's not already grinding, you just swap, right? I don't think I've had an issue of like PvP flagging or anything like that and I don't know how long. I immediately default to the option to switch channels or find another spot. And I don't know if that's just my mindset, because like I just don't care for it and I don't want to waste my time, versus like, you know, I don't know.
Like PA has been in that direction of just, you know, tower spots, like all the Tekia spots are kind of tower spots, and and that's kind of like what I've been grinding mostly lately, is just Tekia spots, and so it doesn't really incentivize trying to take another person's spot because there's just one spot for everybody. So
exactly.
I mean, I think that red players in general, I don't think that it really affects actual red players at all. Because they're already red. They live the red lifestyle anyway, so it doesn't matter to them how long it takes them to get their karma back. This is basically a targeted nerf towards people who are harassing players. It's another nerf. Like, you're trying to attack players that are like harassing players that are just like coming after. Like they flag and they run people down. Now, whether or not it was actually required, I actually don't think so. In this case, and normally I'm Mr. Pro New Player, Pro Everything, I don't really care that the karma system is being changed. I never go red on karma, but I will say that like I felt like the punishments that were there before were kind of enough to kind of deter people in the first place. This will definitely be more than enough to deter people from trying to enter into like flagging on enemy players. But like, let's just call a spade here. They don't want open world PvP anymore. Like it's very obvious that they don't want you to be able to flag on other players in the open world that is outside of a GVG, right? Outside of a declaration of war between two guilds, which they seem to be totally fine with. They do not want you flagging on other players. So instead of constantly making, like, we're heading towards this system. We all know it's coming. They're just going to remove open world flagging. That's what it feels like. But like, I feel like they're stuck in a position right now where the game is actually fundamentally not good enough PvE wise that they can remove open world flagging and not lose part of their player base. They still 100%. Have to they still have to add like a bunch of PvE content to the game that is end game content that makes everybody super happy, that kind of takes the focus off of PvP in the end game, because right now our end game is still PvP, let's just be honest about it. They still have to add like meaningful end game PvE content or group PvE content like raids, dungeons, etc. If they want to remove open world flagging from the game, because otherwise removing open world flagging is going to make a lot of people angry for good reason. But like, it's pretty obvious that they want to do that at this point. I'm not sure that the karma nerfs, like, how often do you see someone flag up on your rotation? Like, even I don't have real issues, and people hate
only
me.
Only on Arsha.
On Arsha, yeah, but that's Arsha. You asked for it. Right. I
100%.
I do sincerely think that like they should just like fix the system one way or another. The open world PvP system needs to be fixed one way or another. Like this ability to flag on any player anywhere all the time, it's just outdated and it just won't work. I would much rather have the system from New World, or I would much rather have the system from World of Warcraft, where like you have to challenge people to duels or people have to opt into PvP. And if they do opt into PvP, you give them heavy rewards and benefits for doing so. Like in New World, the system is if you flag, once you're in town, you can choose to flag for PvP. If you flag for PvP, you get a huge drop rate bonus and you get all this stuff. Like, I wouldn't mind giving people like 30 or 50% drop rate for flagging for PvP in a town. But once you're flagged for PvP, anyone can kill you. You remove the karma system from the game. There is no more karma at that point. There's no more of that because the people that consented to PvP consented before they left the town. And then the people that don't consent to PvP can't be PvP'd unless it's a guild war.
Yeah, they,
like, it's literally just that simple. Like, I mean,
they can do it by making half the channels Arsha, and then you opt in when you go on the channel, you just go in and you're flagged up and you fight it. Like, I think that that would kind of revitalize or revive those servers, because there's already people going to those servers now to PvE as bait for the PvPers, but, like, that's, I mean, they kind of did that with Arsha and Ain on Arsha. Now people are going and splitting between those channels and fighting a lot. I have a few friends that literally fight there all the time, and or they'll just go to every grind spot, do, like, a world tour, where they'll gank everybody. I don't know. I think that... yeah, they could completely remove it, but I completely agree with your statement that I think they're waiting for the PvE content. They have like 4 or 5 things they're working on right now. I think that post that, they're gonna feel like they're maybe in a better position, because exactly like you said, what's the end game if not for PvP until they get these PvE modes in? I think that's 100% exactly the case, because they are moving towards that. I mean, I don't even know if this is even necessary too, because we have like the Marnie realm, we have 5-minute channel swaps, we have ways to avoid it, and I think that, like you said exactly, it's to stop the targeted sort of harassment or following or whatever, and to make those penalties even worse, you know, because it's not just like people just wanting to run around and fight. I mean, like, there's other content creators that do exactly that. Like, Zeradin goes around on Arsha, he challenges people, if they want to keep fighting, he'll fight him, if not, he'll move on, and like, they'll just do different stuff like that, and you know, there's ways to make it fun for yourself, I think.
I don't like the idea of having only PvE and only PvP servers, mainly because I think that everyone is just on the PvE servers then, and it's just it's a zoo. I think that we already see how many people are actually interested.
So?
Yeah, I think we already see how many people are actually interested in grinding on a server like Arsha. And like, there's a reason that Arsha is basically deserted all the time. There's not enough of a reward. People don't see like the risk reward benefit. It's just not there, and people don't want to deal with it. So like, I think that like, if you ask any normal player, do you want to be on a PvP server and have like 50% drop rate, or would you rather be on a PvE server where no one can PvP, you can grind in peace? They're probably gonna pick the PvE server every time, unless you jack that reward up so high that they can't get around it, and then they are stuck in a situation where if they don't grind on the PvP server, well, then they're just griefing themselves because they've got 100% less drop rate, right? Like, so like,
I feel like if you have a system where like you only flag up in town, you're just going to create like everybody unflagged and griefing each other anyways, which would be a non-flagging channel in the first place. Like, you would just have tons of people quote unquote not flagged up, and then the flagged up people are like, oh, can I hit this guy? Nope. Oh, can I hit the next guy? Nope. Oh, can I hit the next guy? Versus you can consolidate all those players that want to fight into those, the Arsha designated channels or whatever. I think you just have to have more than, what do we have, like 2 of them right now? Arsha and Ain on Arsha. If you had like 5, maybe 10, and then consolidated all the other channels just to not flag it, I think that could work. I think that with a new world system, you create this weird problem where someone goes to like 50 grind spots and keeps trying to find people to fight, and like, you know, he's run around and wasted all his buffs because there's no one wanting to fight, versus if he knowingly goes to Arsha, he knows he's going to fight whoever's there on that channel. I feel like you create like a weird sort of limbo status. I definitely like those systems. I think it could work. I just think it's easier to just, again, consolidate, right? The reason why most people don't go Arsha right now, I feel like, is just because they do a world tour and they're out, because most people don't want to go Arsha because they don't want to go get PvP'd because they want the PvE buff aspect, but they don't want to deal with the PvP, versus if we make it like a more standard thing that like we have a bunch of these channels, it's more of like you're hunting between those PvP channels to try and find someone to fight, and you know, again, the thrill of the hunt I think exists there. I mean, I'll admit it, I've definitely got on Arsha, and as soon as someone comes and finds me, I'm like, ah, you got me, swap back over to normal. 10 minutes later, I saw back to Arsha, okay, I'm on the cool channel now, okay, I'm up, oh, they found me again, frick. You know, I think that that's, you know, a definite aspect that people participate in.
Yeah, I mean, like, you end up with this, like, okay, so I'm running a poll right now in my chat to kind of see where people are at, and so guys, make sure that you vote on the poll so I can see where you're at. Would you rather have a full PvP server where like there's no karma negative penalty for killing you, but there's a 50% drop rate, or would you rather just grind on a PvE server, no drop rate, and just be okay with that? I'm curious what the audience thinks about that, so I'll get back to you on that there. But again, I think that if you make only PvP and only PvE servers, you kind of don't root out the main source of the problem. And then you end up with a lot of players. I guarantee you that the complaint is going to be, well, I feel like I have to grind on a PvP server because otherwise I'm griefing myself. Right? Like right now, I'll be honest with you, all Arsha is to 95% of people that are going to Arsha, all Arsha is a bag. That's all it is.
I mean, that's
they're
point.
Not
that's
going
the bait
there. Yeah,
the...
they're not going there to try to PvP. Yeah. There are two types of people on Arsha. There's the PvPers and there's the people that want the bag. And most of the time,
agree.
I will ride to a grind zone while I'm on Arsha. This is a pro tip. I'll be on Arsha before I leave town while I'm getting my church buffs and stuff, and then I'll ride to the grind zone. And I'll check and see if any of the rotations are open on Arsha. And if all the rotations are taken, I'll swap off Arsha and go to a normal channel. But if not, I'm just going to grind in peace on some backwater rotation with the 50% drop rate buff. But if anybody bothers me, I'm immediately going to swap. I'm not going to fight them.
Yeah. Like, no, of course.
Most people.
But I think that's, again, that's the bait. Like, you bait PvEers to want that buff, see if they're willing to PvP at all. And if not, they swap back to a normal channel. I think that's like. Because otherwise, you're not going to get a bunch of PvPers going to Arsha to PvP PvPers. That's essentially what the game is. Otherwise, you'd queue up for RBF if you wanted to fight people that wanted to PvP. It's on occasion you do run up to a grind spot if you're a PvPer and you find someone and you're like, oh, okay, they res up and they do want to fight back, or they really want to fight for their spot. I think that was like a core aspect of like a lot of the early game that I think a lot of those PvPers still reminisce on, and they want that back, which I don't know if that'll ever really exist. Some players do, some players don't like that. But I think that's the whole point, is that it's the bait. And like, making it an option, again, of, like... I guess we're just diametrically opposed, where, like, we both see it the other way. And, I mean, you know, it's just, like, an opinion, so... I think it's, like, okay to have those things to make those people go there, and that's the point, versus, like, not having it in the first place is, you know, understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you separate only PvE and PvP servers, it doesn't fix the underlying system. There were some people in the audience that...
I don't know if you could ever fix it, because that's the core of the game, right? I mean,
no,
so much of the game is built
it.
Upon that system, right?
They're going to have to rework it. That's just how it works, because right now...
I'd love to, but...
We're just piling down on the PvPers. They're just really grinding down on, like, the harassment and stuff. And to be honest with you, at a certain point, you start to punish people that aren't even doing harassment. And that's the biggest problem. So, like, at a certain point, the system just needs to be changed to promote healthy amounts of PvP for people that want to PvP. And the people that don't want to PvP shouldn't necessarily have to engage in PvP like that. Like, I know that that's a hot take. I get it. Some people are like, no, you made a Black Desert on account. You knew what you signed up for. You should be able to be flagged for PvP all the time. I simply think that that's super outdated. I think that in 2016, sure, that was doable because everybody was the same gear score and starting at the same time. And like, it felt like you could catch up at a reasonable pace. Like, yeah, I mean, like, it was very competitive back then. If you missed a day, you felt like you were behind, but like, really, you weren't that far behind. Nowadays, bro, you get on Arsha and it's like 745 gear score Woosa in Awakening. Jaekoon, like, you walk in, you're just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna grind today. And then Jaekoon, the bully that he is, comes in and flags and takes your spot. And there's nothing you can do about that. Because some dude with impossible gear score. Gear score came in and just knocked you off the rotation. And he's got years on you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can hit 700 gear score in, like, what, 3 months, 4 months, if you're playing actively. But, like, hitting 745, hitting 750 like this, that's going to take you years, probably, to do. Like, that's a lot. So, like, I don't know. The gap between players is pretty big. I think that you have to approach the game differently. I think the player base is also massively different than when the game started as well. And you kind of just have to play.
Different.
Yeah, you kind of have to just play, or you have to, like, push towards what your player base wants. And in this case, the vast majority of the player base is PvE and or life skillers, or just they just don't participate in PvP most of the time, unless it's with like Node Wars or Siege, or they do AOS, right? Or they do, like, if you exclude people that do Node Wars, Siege, AOS, and Guild League, you're talking about maybe 2% of the player base. Maybe, and that's being generous, that really likes to just flag up in a non-guild guild war situation, flag up and run around and kill people. And this is a very small amount of the population that is going to be particularly upset about the karma change. But You want to be careful when you change stuff like this. I'm curious why they don't want to just change the system altogether. There are some people in the audience that also said that Blizzard might come after them if they copy that system. That's not true at all. A lot of the MMOs in the genre
nowadays take the same.
Of the MMOs in the genre, like the big name MMOs, all basically use essentially the same system. It's not copyrighted. They can't just like say, oh no, that's our material. That's not how it works. They could absolutely implement a system like that in Black Desert, and make it work. And it's very obvious that the developers don't want people harassing people anymore because they realize that they're losing money and losing players because player harassment is happening. Why not just change the system instead of constantly just buckling down on the old one? Now you're just making the old veterans mad, and the new players don't really care that much. They don't read the patch notes. They don't know. Right. So I don't know. I'm not really sure how to feel too much about the karma system, but we have a bigger deal to talk about on the podcast today, and that is the new pity enhancement system. And I just want to say that I took another W here once again, and Blonde Bear took the fattest L of his life. So I'm going to go ahead and let Blonde start off and tell us why he thought that this system was absolutely not going to be a pity enhancement system and why it was going to kill the game. Blon, why don't you give us your thoughts about the pity enhancement system that everyone else loves so much and that you hate so much. Go ahead.
The way you threw him under the bus.
Yeah, here we go.
That's straight under the bus,
like the
well.
Dolphin and the boys. Just
that is a lot of poisoning the well here. I didn't think they would do it in a guaranteed enhancement system. I thought PA was definitely below that bar. I really truly did not think that they would actually arguably do something good with the game. I really didn't think that they would do that. I know people have talked about the enhancement system being one of the most frustrating things in the game that they deal with, and they don't want to deal with it, which you could just buy. But I was surprised. I really truly didn't think it would be that. I thought it would be you get a bonus percent that's basically guaranteed unless you're, again, incredibly unlucky. But yeah, I was surprised when I saw the Global Labs, and I was looking at the stuff, and I think it's going to be really weird that they didn't just let it be specific endgame gear, and they tried to do it across the board for everything, like Reblath and stuff. I feel like fail stacking is going to be kind of awkward for some things. I looked at the numbers and everything kind of, I saw some math in some different Discords I was in, and they were the chances of reaching 20 debo attempts, failing whatever, or however many Black Star attempts is 3% of the total player base of people that would click, right? Which is such an anomaly that it shouldn't happen in the first place. And, once you see the numbers, once you see the math, obviously for the first 24 hours, I was like, man, this kind of sucks. And that's more of, again, just my opinion of I like the mystery of I've been grinding almost for almost 2,000 hours. I went in knowing it would be either dropping soon or never dropping, and I accepted that, and I'm okay with that. But I understand when it comes to not feeling your progression and stuff like that, it's a completely separate kind of thing. And it looks pretty good. I think it'll be all right. It just feels bad. I think if you're used to the old system and doing it a transitionary state, it's going to be eh. But after 24 hours, I was it's a pretty good system, because it's the chances of it occurring. It's not like you're getting it in 5 attempts, right? I feel like if it was way less than the average, it would be something you'd be really upset about or something. But it being 20 attempts is you got to give it to them. Who's this gonna happen to? Again, the rare anomaly. So.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's actually good after reviewing the numbers. Yeah,
I should have introduced the pity system. So, guys, if you have not heard, there is a pity enhancement system on the Global Labs that is set to release on main servers in the coming weeks here. Should be in the next, I don't know, guys.
Next patch,
what do you think?
For us.
Yeah. Next patch, really, that soon.
It's announced. Yeah, they've confirmed it. So, Korea has it this week, and then we're confirmed to get it next week.
Okay,
April 17th.
So we are getting the pity system next week, guys. And so essentially, the game has been tracking since January. They've been working on this, and they've been tracking how many fails you have on every single enhancement in the game. And at a certain point, the game will just give you the enhancement success without even consuming a fail stack because you failed so many times.
Interesting.
And
was
I think
the non-consuming fail stack.
Yeah, I think that this is just an objective W for the game overall. It does not affect the vast majority of players. I'm gonna keep it a buck. It will affect every single player at some point in their account. They will take use of the pity system, right? On one thing or another, because you end up in one extreme at some point based on the law of averages. You're going to hit the extreme at some point. And what this does is it keeps people from going way over the edge. This is a big reason why people quit the game. I think they're trying to attack points that have people quitting their game on a regular basis. Number one, player versus player harassment is a large reason why some people quit the game. Like they just don't, like they felt like their guild was harassed into the ground, the guild died, and then they lost 60 players, right? Because all those players stopped playing the game. Like, to be honest with you, I find it hard to remember times when players have just stopped playing the game because of player harassment, but it absolutely happens. And more importantly, the developers saw it in force when the Lost Ark people came over, and the developers were trying to hold on to some of those content creators. They got harassed into the ground, they left and went back to Lost Ark. Or they left and went back to other games. Which, I'll be honest with you, like, as a content creator, that was going to happen anyway. Like, if you're keeping it a buck, like, they're not going to stay. But that's not how the developers saw it. They saw it as, okay, we're actually just losing players. Because when you do lose big content creators like that, a lot less people end up playing the game. Because, like, a lot less people are introduced to the game. Like, as content creators, you stand up on a platform and you're basically showcasing the game. Right? That's how it works. Mm-hmm. And so the less big content creators that see the game, the less players that try your game, and they make the most money off of those new players that are going to spend, you know, they're going to spend $200-$300 in their first month on their tent and their season pass and their outfit and all this stuff, right? Like that's boom. Even if that player doesn't continue, and then if that player continues, you know, they end up spending more money down the line. But like, I think the developers saw player harassment and they tried to crack down on it. Now they're seeing, like, okay, what's another reason people like to quit BDO all the time? The enhancement system. That's a big reason why people, like, I failed my pen debo 55 times, something that Blonde Bear has never done in his life because he's never actually failed a Debereka enhancement.
I'm 0 out of 17 right now. This I'm 50 so system sorry. Is going to be making me big money.
I'm so sorry, 0 for 17, but you do have 3 pen debos, right?
Oh, listen, that's not what
and
the
how many
question
did
was.
How many attempts did those take you?
And that's not what the question was.
And how many of those take you? How many attempts?
That was not
5 total clicks, right?
0 to 17 is what I'm at right now.
Yeah. But even at 0 and 17, because you got your other ones in 5 clicks, you're still way above the average, like flying high. Like you're literally God up on the mountain.
No, I think it's about average, right? That's what 3 out of 25? That's like,
yeah.
No. Yeah, no, don't at me. No, yeah. Get out of here.
That's average, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's average. Yeah, it's average, guys. Average.
The law of averages, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I too, would claim that I was average after one tapping my first 3 pens and then struggling for the fourth. Like,
yeah, that's how the numbers work. I'm just saying. When you
I think
up.
That a
that's
lot of people would love to right struggle that way instead of the other way. But I think that, again, this is another attempt by the developers to kind of attack a point of the game that has people quitting a lot. Yep. So, like,
definitely.
I think it's a huge W for the game overall. Blonde, I know that you had special feelings about it before. Do you still feel that the pity enhancement system is bad for the game? Or that you think that, you know, people should struggle in this way, like, or that's part of the game in some way?
Yeah, like I said before, I think it's just one of those things where even during, like, when the potions came out and the pities were coming out, people, like, immediately thought, oh, they're going to do pities for the other treasures. And I don't know, there's, like, a little bit of panic when you change a system that people are used to. But as time progressed, everybody was like, okay, the potion change for pities was an objective W, right? The treasures are a very separate item. The potions, this was a big deal, and it was important. And it has proven that there's player retention from being motivated by getting these pity pieces to continue that system. So after seeing the result of those things, it's like, it's okay, I'm starting to believe. So yeah, the first 24 hours, I was like, man, this kind of sucks. And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, if it only happens to a very small percentage of the player base, and it's to help motivate players, and
right.
I talked to a lot of people since our last podcast when we talked about it. I've talked to, like, at least 5 to 10 people about, how they felt about the system, and some people are like, oh, well, a lot of my PvP friends quit, and now they might come to the game because they feel that progression, and they could see those numbers because they failed X amount of times. And yeah, if that leads to player retention, I think it's a good thing. Yeah, 100%. So I felt a little sour, like anybody would during a transitioning period of, like, what's feeling to stray away from maybe what you like. But it is, I agree, a good thing in the end to retain those players. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jay, you liked it too, right? We're basically all on the same page here. Like, did you how do you feel about it overall?
No, yeah. I mean, I think this was something that's like a natural thing in MMOs, that they eventually introduce systems to make the game easier and accessible over time for whatever systems. And I do think this system is a good thing for the game. you know, there's a cap on being lucky in the game, which is, you know, one tapping, right? Whereas there wasn't a cap on being unlucky until now with the system. There were some comments in my chat about how this is going to affect the market. And, you know, for sure, this is going to help those a small percentage of people. But I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think if they hit the pity, they're not, they're probably weren't going to make profit anyways. Like if that person hit the pity for them, they're most likely in that small percentage of people that the item was probably going to be used by that person rather than sold in the market. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to have too big of an impact on the market. But now that the numbers are out, you know, I think for the most part, like I think the numbers are pretty fair for like, you know, 40 for the Black Stars, 20 for the, you know, I think it's about double or times two or times three, like being unlucky on the average is yep. Like, what do you think? Do you think it's fair for all the numbers so far? Or is there anything that you could
do? Yeah, it's like double the average, right? When you look at the numbers, it's like on a 220 stack, your average is 20 attempts on a Pen Blackstar Krond or whatever. And Pent Nebos are like between the 7 to 10 range. This is just doubling those averages. And again, the chances you would even get that many fails in a row is so astronomically low that it's again to just help those players to know that, like, oh my god, I only need three more clicks and I got it no matter what. Like, I can do these last three clicks. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think of the player mindset when you get past the average and you're like, gloom and doom, you know. I know X-Gen it's at like 106 taps on his Black Star, and it's like, I feel bad for people that have been tapping for years, and you know, this only is going back to January 1st, but I feel like they had to set some sort of date for it. But yeah, now we're, you know, I feel like it does just look good overall, and players that maybe wouldn't be interested in the game can now look at it and be like, oh, okay, they have like a Lost Ark system. I mean, there's Lost Ark content creators I know that were kind of like, eh, kind of put off by that, and now they're like, you know, oh, okay, this is kind of, I kind of like this, you know? The guarantee aspect in the back of your mind affects you in ways you don't know.
I was going to ask, what do you think about the pity number for the Pen Fallen God? Do you think people are actually
going to
try to hit that
pity? I do have something
to
say about that. I thought also that this the assistant enhancement helping system would be a transition to, okay, let's accelerate and push them, because they can always adjust these numbers. That's kind of a cool thing, I guess, is that they can always push the player by giving them a certain amount of attempts to get something guaranteed. So I thought, oh, well, maybe they'll just let us hit all Pen Fallen God to introduce the new stage of the game where, oh, you need to be a little tankier, or oh, you're going to get a little more monster damage reduction or whatever. So I was like, oh, this will be like that stage. And then it was like 0 out of 1,000, and I was just like sitting there like, what? Why? And also the fact that it's not on the new ring. Like, they're not putting it on Debo rings. You can't use the hammer on Debo rings. I don't understand, like, if this is a system overall to help all players progress at all stages, or... I guess only at certain stages. I don't know why it wouldn't be straight across the board, and it's only for some things. So this means that every new piece of gear, there's going to be a window of time where they just are like, okay, like, you could just go way over the averages, you know, and just, oh, that sucks to be you that you're ahead, or it's like a silver sink for people that are ahead or whatever. I feel like, I don't know, it should be just like all across the board. If this is the way the system is, let it be that way. But you could argue that it's like a silver sink for the filthy rich, and I guess that's okay too. That's like kind of what I think the selling of the hammers was. You were literally pushing the wealth into the new player economy to get them silver to get their next Black Star or Pen Armor upgrade to then move further on so they can get to the later stages. So I think that you could kind of dice it up a few different ways, but
That was interesting. Speaking of the hammers, like I was talking with someone last night about like how much silver has been sunk. And someone mentioned in my chat how on, like, on EU there's been like 9,000 trades of
close
the hammers.
Close to 9. It's 8.8 when I checked it today. So yeah, 9. Close to 9.
Yeah, like if we multiply that just like baseline, like 9,000 times, let's just keep it simple, 30, right? 30 bill. That's 9,000 times 20. Yeah. Is it 27? No, 270 trillion. I'm bad at math, but you know, that's a lot of trillions of silver.
270 trillion.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. No. I will say, yeah, in EU, I checked the trades for the hammer on EU. It's 8.8K today, a little later in the day, so closer to 9 probably as we move forward. And there were about 2.4K listed on the marketplace. In North America, there are only 5.3K trades. So, like, honestly, like what, 60% or 50%? Pretty low, and there's still 2.5K on the marketplace. So what this tells us overall is that there was a lot more silver kind of floating on EU, but also that I think that EU players we're probably floating much more silver, probably because they don't ever get Kron stones. So like I expect that, to be honest. Overall, and I think it's a huge W for my EU account. I'm waiting for the stock to run out. I'm waiting for the price to go. The price will go up on these. They're going to sell out at min price. And I think that what this does is it keeps people's banks really low. At least like the high-end banks. Are there. I know Biohack probably bought Lord knows how many hammers for his account, right? So like, I don't know. I still agree with the hammer. I think it was an objective W. I think the pity enhancement system is one of the biggest Ws that the developers have come up with in a very, very long time. I have... definitely super happy about that, and it's not just because every time I click Manos I want to die inside a little bit. It's because
I was just gonna say, didn't they say it was gonna be for that stuff too, right?
Yes,
like where we can cron it or whatever.
Thank goodness,
that
dude.
Is also insane.
It only goes back to January, so like I'm not gonna get all my stuff. I'll take it.
But
I don't care.
That is a W. Gear enhancing, grinding, PV stuff, whatever. All that other stuff though, that shiz sucks. And that is amazing that it's happening for the like all that other stuff. I mean, even isn't it on boat gear and everything too? Like I don't know. All that stuff looks amazing. I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh my god, like life skillers getting something for them. Hey, let's
go. Crazy, bro. They didn't forget about us. That's amazing. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and then they also said that they. Black Desert Online official YouTube put out a video today that basically stated all of the updates that they plan to bring for the month, which I thought was an interesting way. Honestly, it's like
an interesting way of communicating
with us. I really like that.
Cool.
So like we should all like give it a thumbs up and like do that, because like if they did that every month, we'd actually know what we were getting this month, and it wouldn't be
good.
Hey, Blue. When are we getting this? And I'm anywhere between now and next January. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea. But, like, they gave us the roadmap, and they did say on the roadmap that we are getting combined life skills this month.
Yes.
And we're already, like, you know, almost 10 days into the month at this point. So
the 24th, I believe.
I'm curious with the combined life skills. Have they confirmed? I think originally they said that they were just going to add up all of our different characters and just like boom, there's your total life skill level. But like then I heard some conflicting then I heard some conflicting reports, so like is that how it's gonna be?
That's the only way I
can imagine
it. I saw
that video too, and they literally worded it as the sum of your life skills, so I'm pretty sure that means they're adding all the life skills together. But if you're already, I'm assuming if you're already capped on like if you're Guru 50 on one character, then you won't go past Guru 50, of course.
Ooh, what if they introduce new caps to this? That'd be kind of cool.
They increase it further than Guru 50, you mean?
Yeah, because I feel like it'd be such a waste for players that did hit cap on certain things.
And Blonde, if they're going to do that, they got to get more than 2K mastery. And I swear to God, at this point,
I just started
hitting 2K mastery.
Wouldn't it be cool,
Blonde,
if we had like a real actual progression system instead of it just being like get 1600, get 2000? Okay, everything below that, you're just trolling.
It would not be cool.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, feeling like, oh, I've hit 1600. Finally, I can access this new cool thing. You know, like almost like gear score. Cool if we had that.
Yeah, it
like,
would
I reach 700 gear score, can access the new thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna affect too much of the life skill. Like I think 2K mastery is reasonable. I think they should just buff how much life skills are actually giving, like money wise. I think the combination's insane.
The fact that they're so, I think I have like literally five characters because I forget which ones they are that have like, what is it, artisan alchemy? Because every time I move a new character, I'm like, oh shoot, I need alchemy to craft blue elixirs. Well, I needed to, right? Not anymore. But like, I would like, oh, who can craft this? Oh, I can't do this with a beginner. Which one do I need? So I had to power level five different characters because I forgot which one they were. Now that is completely gone. Or maybe I want to go sailing, but I want to go on my main because I have a cool costume and I want to dance on the ship while they're doing, you know, while they're driving it, while I'm just AFK. Like that'd be like, I can't do any of that. Or I want to pick up something or gather something or chop some tree because I'm next to it. Like the fact that like you had to do very specific stuff to hop through those loops, this is like actually really cool. I like that a lot.
I don't like, yeah, I mean like the what Blonde is very painfully going to find out is that even having 26 characters with artisan 5 alchemy really only means that you're like master 1 alchemy when you combine them together, because that's how alchemy
works. I
don't
need to be high. I just need it to be combined.
Tragic.
Okay?
When
I just need to be able
to
access it on any character, okay?
How little that is. The biggest implications of the combined life skills, I'm sure we'll talk about it more when it comes back, but like, when it finally happens, but like, what are some of these implications of combined life skills? I'm personally excited for 20-second tap time on every character. Even if I make a new character, I have 20-second tap time in large-scale PvP, and I don't have to worry about it. And I also, the biggest quality of life tame, I can just hit auto-sprint on every character in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And just click
what does tap time mean?
I would say when you repair the Node War fort, you got reduced repair time.
Oh. Blonde, you were in a siege guild for like 2 years.
Yeah, we always had years. Castle. I was just on the wall, okay? I was just on the wall. I shot a cannon. I didn't ever have to do anything else other than that. It was a good time.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so you can repair the forts? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that that's pretty cool. Like, okay, but like what... I guess I'm the only life skiller in the call, so I'm not going to get very much out of you guys. But like, honestly, quality
like
of life guys.
I sprinting is so cool.
I did some
And I have so characters stupid. That have way Jesus. More weight, and I get to do alchemy on them now. I have characters with only 700 weight. You know how hard it is to do alchemy for more than 5 minutes with only 700 LT? That's impossible. Now I can do it on my main.
I still might do all my life skills on at least most of it on at least one character, for, you know, because cooking and alchemy, right? That my weight on my witch, like I have max weight on my witch, so I'd still probably prefer to do it on that. But definitely, like, let's say I'm wanting to do bartering or something, then my corsair is useful because she gets a little bit of extra stats there. I think I can use my my striker to hunt because it has OP passive. For 20% crit rate and stuff like that, so it's gonna be useful for that. Farm flipping, I don't have to run all the way over there to
my
farms anymore.
Yes.
I can just leave an alt over there, so definitely a lot more saving time
Let's
stuff is what I'm mostly gonna be.
You don't have a farming alt?
No, I just run over there with my
what?
I don't have a farming alt because I started farming on my witch.
What?
And I have old moon farms. Right, and you
spend
$20
and get an alt. You've played
This
game for 7 years, Jay. You can't spare $20 to save yourself countless hours of time of running across the map to do your farms. What is going on?
Here's the thing. My witch is not my main grinder anymore, so it's been a lot easier because I leave my witch in Hydel and my farm's on Velia, so I just run over back to Velia. But it's not a big of a deal, but...
You run all the way to Velia and then back to Hydel every time you do your farms?
Well, okay, here's the thing. It's fast because I have a spare T10 on my witch, so...
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice being one of the high-class people with an extra T10.
Yeah, I have a spare T10 Pegasus, so I
wow.
spend on my witch and she
must
gets live.
Nice.
Yeah, see, this is why you both get flamed in the comments constantly. The trick is to, again, be one of the people that just never gets carried on anything. The trick is to just not succeed on anything in life and just be a complete parental disappointment all the way through, and then you don't get flamed in the comments.
You know, back to those comments, there were some nice people in the comments that were like, why is everybody ganging up on Blob Bear? Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. As much as I do appreciate the people having differences in opinion in the comments, and I do appreciate the engagement and feedback, you guys don't have to comment, hey, don't be mean. I asked for it.
I
literally...
We need that engagement. We need that
what are you doing,
Blob?
What is this?
Criticism and feedback and say something positive about what you think rather than, hey, don't be mean. I appreciate the thought.
Stop. I'm just going to stop
saying,
you right
say
there.
Something else.
Jay
they
has the
like...
right idea here, okay? Jay actually knows how to promote himself and conduct himself when I ask himself to shout him out, okay? You, I ask you to shout you out, and you're like, I like parties. Okay? That's
like
all we get out of you, all right? And now
I
you're like, guys,
party.
Stop commenting on the video. And both Jay and I are like, shut up. We're trying to put out a fire with our feet.
I just don't want them to comment that they need to stop defending. It just provided an opinion about what you thought I said, unless they don't want the flack, which I totally understand, because those other ones got down, they got heavy down, thumbs down. They were all the way at the bottom. I had to scroll real far. So
there was one thing I wanted to touch on back on the pity system is that, do you guys think eventually, so now that they're adding cronable life skill accessories and armor, do you think we'll be able to cron alchemy stones in the future?
Please, God, why is this not the system not changed? Why is it not changed yet? It doesn't make any sense. And what is it? Hugh said he asked Jay at the ball. This is like one of the most archaic systems in the game that has never, ever changed. I think they've changed everything in the game at this point except for the alchemy stones and Amity. I think those are the only two things they've never touched in this game, and it blows my mind. They did, like, what, the skip feature for Alchemy Stones, like, a few months ago, because they were like, oh, people still do this? Don't you guys know you could just get a Vel? Like, and then they just, like, completely were like, ah, back in the trash closet where it goes. Like, what the heck? This is crazy. And people, it's not like people don't talk about this. People are asking about this all the time, and they're just like, I don't know. What?
Which system are we talking about? Are we talking about Amity?
Alchemy Stones.
Oh, Alchemy Stones.
I love Amity. Yeah, don't touch Amity. Leave Amity alone. Amity did nothing wrong.
I don't think Amity is like broken or anything.
Amity's awesome. Amity is one of the most specifically unique things that nothing else in any game is ever like it. Most systems have like a wave at the NPC or do a little chat dialogue and whatever, and you get W points. This game system, I don't know if you've how intricate you've gone to the Amity system, but there's like multiple levels of things you have to reach. You also need knowledge from all the different things in the game that you have to go and talk to for different NPCs that then access more types of conversations to then talk about so you can evolve the conversation and spark their interest. The system is wildly complex, and it's actually really cool.
To wave at the NPC.
No.
Okay, let's all shut up for a moment. Hold on. Can we just take a moment to appreciate why Blonde is going to get flamed in the comments this week? Because the Amity game has to be one of the worst systems in the history of Black Desert, and whoever thought it up should be fired.
It is so
literally
unique.
So
it is
outdated.
The coolest,
unique
system in the game
equals bad. It is terrible. And the reason for the record, what the reason I know it's terrible is because there isn't a single player in the game that really uses the Amity system on a regular basis. That isn't trying to get one particular thing from an NPC, and then they're done with this terrible Amity game. And then they never go back to it again. It's not like anybody wakes up today in the morning and they're like, God, I can't wait to do the Amity game today. No one does that. It's terrible. No, you didn't, Blonde. Stop kidding yourself.
I don't know if you guys remember, because this is like ye olden days, like first 6 months of BDO. The only way to get a weapon that literally did more damage to humans, which would increase your PvP damage, was to talk to someone in Kalafion, do their Amity game, and then with Amity points, like you know in the game, you can buy certain things. So like you literally had to play it to get the best in slot weapon at the time, which is crazy. You may not like the system and like the rewards and benefits because it's just one of those old things they just haven't touched in like a million years because nobody really cares.
No.
I think it's really cool. It's unlike anything in any other game I've ever seen. I've never seen a system that does what this does. The way it functions is cool. Maybe like how it like actual and practicality is sucks, but the system itself is wholly unique and unlike anything else.
There's actually one NPC in particular that I'm pretty sure 99.9% of us did Amity for.
Wasn't there an event?
Yeah, you know what we did? She was a cheap date. You just waved at her a few times and she put out. That's all it was, okay? Like that's it. You just kept waving at her. You know why? Because you're avoiding the terrible Amity game.
I told her about the monsters I've slain and the people I've met, and I shared my adventures with her.
Oh my god, I actually almost yawned when he tried to say it.
Get a longer version of the crit buff if we actually talk to him.
Hey, that would be
no one
cool.
has tried.
Hey.
Everyone got exactly 25 Amity and gave up.
I think it's definitely one of those systems where people will always optimize the fun out of it. And I think that, yeah, if there's a button where I can press one button, or I could have like a complex puzzle game added to it, I think people will just press the one button. Yeah, it's just natural. Whether or not it's as rewarding for the effort you're putting in, yeah, I guess I could see it that way. But yeah, I think it's just so unique, uncompared to anything else. I'd never played any... It's like, it's a puzzle game unlike anything else. I if anybody knows any other game systems and other games like that, I'd love
to
know.
It's not a puzzle system.
It's literally because every individual conversation, you are influencing them in certain points, and they go up and down. And depending on how many points of influence you have, you then can have a conversation that, again, the objective is either spark their interest, not spark their interest, or talk freely with them and gain a bunch of points. And you can literally, depending on that meter, influences the conversation topics to have more or less point values that then have combos that say, okay, after four conversation topics, you actually are going to get double points for the next three things. Or after a few conversation topics, you're just going to get a flat amount of points. Like, there's a lot of really cool intricacies to it. There's just no benefit to it, and it's just kind of a nonsensical system.
It's not integral. You figure out how it works. You understand how the point, like the, you understand how it works, and then you do it the same way basically every time. You just kind of, it's like, it, the game tells you what you want, and then you bam, 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 you're done. Bam, 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 you're done. That's, it sucks. And if you don't know the game, you're basically just guessing the entire time, and it sucks. It's a horrible system. The rewards are terrible. If they rework it, they have to rework the entire system. Even when the game started, everyone hated doing the Amity game. Like, literally, I remember Blade BoQuest. We're going Blade style. That's how far back Blade I'm going style. Right now. Okay. Blade BoQuest used to make guys, he'd be like, guys, I know you don't like the Amity game, but this is how you do it, and you have to do it with this NPC in Kalthion, because this is how you get this Rosar whatever, or this is how you get that, or this is how you get this. And everyone hated it. Every time someone was forced to do the Amity game for anything, it was just miserable. Yeah, I think you're forced to do the Amity game, I think, one time during the main story. And you know what the new players do? They just throw darts against the wall until it works, okay? Because the system is not intuitive, it's not fun, and they don't want to come back to do it again. That's how you know it's a bad system. It's like, it just because it's unique doesn't mean it's good. You're right, it is unique. There is no system that is quite as garbage as this one is when you're talking to an NPC. They really have butchered conversation with NPCs to a level that, like, they didn't even want to add voice lines. I would love to hear voice lines and stuff too. You know what would make Amity interesting? Let's just remove all the other shit and all this guesswork crap, and let's have the NPC give you a prompt, and then if you answer correctly based on like seven responses or something, like, it'll give you another prompt, and then you can go to another one. Then you actually have to know lore and stuff. Then you actually have to know stuff about the game, and you can have a conversation, and the NPC should talk to you verbally.
Oh my god, like ChatGPT. Oh my god.
Which, shut your mouth. Your ChatGPT, yeah, we'll cool, talk about that in a minute.
I think, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a puzzle game and a game that we're not here to play puzzles, so a lot of people are just disinterested in it. I still think it's really, really incredibly cool. I think it could be even developed even more to exactly what you're saying too. It's just that it just wasn't liked, so they just completely were like, okay, nobody likes this, we're taking that out.
They could just remove it from the game tomorrow, and everyone would be like, who?
No, that would be terrible. I just think it's one of those things, and this is, like, I think when players react to MMOs in general, it's like, if something is at all annoying, frustrating, or just doesn't rub them the right way, I feel like it's already like, oh, we don't like it, I don't want this. And then, like, devs will see that, and they'll be like, ah, man, that really sucks, it's a cool system. And they could have developed it better if people showed more enthusiasm, but... Yeah, I feel like when you go into an automatic negative sentiment, I feel like you're just going to have that opinion. It's going to shape the community side of opinion. And then, like, the devs are going to be like, oh, man, they really hate this system. And it's like, it could be better. Like, no, please don't look at it that way.
Blonde chat actually brought up a good point. Do you know my favorite thing about jigsaw puzzles? Is the RNG that goes into them.
You play jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, my favorite thing about puzzles in general is the RNG that goes into them.
I think it is really cool. Every time you talk to them, it's like a dice roll.
No. I like knowing how to solve a puzzle and then realizing that I did the puzzle correctly only to be punished because RNG is a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, there's a dice roll, right? Like, that's actually how the conversation works, is you use all the right puzzle pieces depending on the topic she's requesting you, and then you also dice roll on top of that.
It was a joke. I mean, that's really cool. No one likes that. No one. No one likes the Amity game. No one likes
that.
Even if you
haven't
figured it out.
I actually like that.
Even if you haven't figured it out. Even if you haven't figured out.
I like it.
Holy
moly. You should play
more
board games. There's some really good board games that you'd probably like based on these same
systems.
Yeah,
Monopoly.
They should make a board game of the Amity system in video.
That would be cool.
It would be the least. Honestly, it would sell about as many copies as Shadow Arena did as a standalone game. I would say that would do just about as well.
I think Shadowrun had more players in BDO than out of BDO.
No, Blonde. No kidding. They shut the servers down. You're like, man, I bet there were more people playing Shadow Arena than when it was part of the game. No, man, kidding,
it's
Blonde.
Totality. I'm saying. I think that's true. Yeah. Even for the thousands of players BDO, I think they had probably less than that in the Shadow Arena.
You know, they actually made a Shadow Arena, or rather a, what is it called? Battle Royale game in WoW recently. They had
The new
Battle Royale.
Pirate theme. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Mm. So much hate, yet so many people are playing it and loving it.
What, the battle royale?
Yeah, there were so many people being like, what the heck? And then everybody else is like, why are we freaking out? Just play it and have fun.
Wait, there's a battle royale in World of Warcraft?
They just introduced it.
Yeah, they added it. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
You can do
but
like
wait,
duos
but wait, they added
cool.
it inside the game, right? It's not like this new game on Steam. It's not like a standalone game.
Yeah. And everybody hated it, and then they changed their mind and they liked it after a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They can still add Shadow Arena back, guys. They can still add it back.
I hope they do. There's no reason they shouldn't. Like, it's probably just a mode they just have to turn back on again, right? They didn't delete all the files. Like,
surely.
They definitely
probably in there somewhere.
Surely, yeah, and, surely.
It's in the Magnus.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. I've spoken enough on it. I've grilled Blonde enough about the Amity system. I can't believe we got on such a tangent that we went into Amity. I literally wrote Node War changes on the current topic, and then we ended up talking about Amity. My editor's gonna have a field day. He's gonna be like, where are the Node War changes?
Man. I like, there's so many things in this game that are unlike a lot of MMOs that are so unique. And I've experienced, I think, almost everything except for tapping a fort. I never heard of that before, but I think it's cool. I love this game.
Yeah.
I love BDO.
Let's do I hate this game. Let's do closing thoughts on a podcast. We started with Blonde last time, we'll start with Jay this time.
All right, closing thoughts is that pity system W, let's go. Pity system for Alchemy Stones, maybe, or Chronicle Alchemy Stones, please. And you can find me over at Jaykun VT, V before the T.
Okay, and my boy Blonde, this time he's got it.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I'm grinding Olens until I get that merchant ring piece. I think that overall, the pity system is going to be an objective W. During transitionary periods, it's just going to feel bad because you're used to something old or used to something different. And I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be okay. And if they keep making improvements that, you know, people like, then, you know, we'll get more players and it'll be more fun. So, yep.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that we heckin' love BDO. We heckin' love watching Blonde get flamed in the comments every week. My favorite part of the whole week, to be honest with you. I am Blue Squadron. There is always something happening on this channel. There's always two new YouTube videos every day, guys. Whether it's guides, react videos, podcasts, patch note rundowns, VOD reviews, gear help, you name it. We do basically everything. So make sure you guys check out my Discord as well. It's a super active Discord. There's typically always people sitting in voice. There's always people there to help you. And you can ping me relentlessly with your memes, which is always a huge W. If you guys are listening to the podcast, you guys are fans of the podcast, again, make sure you have comments down below the podcast. We always read those. Tremendously fun to read. Whether you're supporting Blonde or supporting Jay or supporting me or dogging on me or Jay or Blonde, we'd love to hear those comments down below the video. We also have the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts every week, guys. So make sure you hit the follow button there so we know you're interested and you listen on those platforms. It is content that is basically made so that you can listen to it at work or while you're on the go, basically in your everyday life. You can listen to what's happening in Black Desert Online. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week, guys.